Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of Attention Talk Radio is brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD and self-restraint. What is self-restraint? With us in our virtual studio is Dr. Ari Tuckman, one of our favorite guests and a great one for this topic. Before we get into things, I want to thank children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder for supporting us and bringing this program to you. In celebration of that event, we are anxious to give away free copies of Attention Magazine in digital form. To get yours, just listen to our show. We're going to share a secret word a couple times. Write that word down and listen to another one of our shows. Write down the secret word of that show and then email me both secret words. The email address is attention@attentiontalkradio.com. When we get we get your email, we'll send it to Chad. They will send you a PDF copy of Attention Magazine, current version, and a PDF copy of the next edition when it is printed. Again, this program is being brought to you by Chad. We're going to roll a little tip and we'll get into our show.
Did you know that 1 in 3 people diagnosed with ADHD also have depression and 47% have an anxiety disorder? Left untreated, this could lead to other health issues. Understanding your ADHD symptoms and how depression and anxiety work is the first step. Talk with a healthcare provider for treatment options and strategies to deal with everyday challenges. With the proper treatment, you can live a healthy and productive life. Learn more at chad.org.
Thank you so much, Chad, for your continued support. For those that are not aware, Chad is the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We encourage all of our listeners to either donate or become members to support Chad. Financial stability is really important for them to have the resources to have people lobbying on Capitol Hill for the ADHD community and working with different regulatory agencies on wording to make sure that those with ADHD get the accommodations that they need in order to thrive. Again, for more information, to donate, or to become a member, go to chadd.org. Okay. Dr. Ari Tuckman is a clinical psychologist who specializes in diagnosing and treating children, teens, and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. He's the author of 4 books, including his newest one, ADHD After Dark, Better Sex Life, Better Relationship. He's a frequent speaker and has given more than 400 presentations on ADHD and other topics. He has over 100 episodes and more than 2 million downloads of More Attention, Less Deficit. That's his podcast. He's the former member of the National Board of CHAD and the current conference chair of the International Conference on ADHD. More information is available on him at his website, adultadhdbook.com. Dr. Tuckman, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
You're the perfect guest for this. I've been focused a lot in the last several years on Dr. Russell Barkley's construct of ADHD as an executive function issue, and as I've really gone back and listened to old episodes and studied it a little bit deeper, you know, executive function is really, really invisible. And I think it's really helpful if you break it down into components like he has and look at them individually, because understanding them and from a self-awareness perspective, I think really helps a lot of people. And there's a saying I had heard somewhere that self-awareness is a key to success in life. And so we've been doing a bunch of shows, taking a look at self-awareness and working memory and playing with information in your mind. And today I really wanted to talk about self-restraint, because I think it's probably – it's the executive function that's the biggest challenge, and we don't talk a lot about it directly. So I want to start from your perspective. What is self-restraint?
Yeah, so I agree. I think that everything begins with self-restraint, right? Because if you just – automatically jump, then that's it, right? Like, you are committed now to a course of action, as opposed to with self-restraint, you can, you know, helps us pause and actually think about options. So So self-restraint is, it's the ability to hold back the first obvious response. So whatever that might be in this situation. So that could be I don't know, you're working on your computer, something important, and there's, you know, some rattling around outside, or, you know, your cell phone, you know, pings because you got a text or something, and it's the ability to kind of stop sort of for the flash of a moment, let's say, and not just automatically knee-jerk, sort of impulsively, reflexively act on whatever that new thing is. Or if you're dealing with somebody else and they say something that tweaks you a bit, to be able to pause for a moment and not just automatically throw out, you know, the sort of corresponding response. And there's like a million other examples of self-restraint.
It's one of those things that it's so obvious, it's hard to see. That one of my favorite quotes is, "I don't know who discovered water, but I'm sure it wasn't a fish." I kind of lends itself into that. I actually looked up self-restraint in online. So self-restraint, exercise over one's impulses, emotions, and desires. And it's and again, this is one of those shows that we're going to go real slow and dwell a lot on that, because it's, you say that, it's so easy to say, but it's so hard to do. And you know, it's the epicenter. You know, people with ADHD, you know, they act, they don't think, you know, they're impulsive, they talk out. I mean, all that stuff really goes to kind of what we're speaking of here. And I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, why it is such an issue. And for me, when I'm working with clients, I talk to them about dopamine. It's the reward neurotransmitter. So we did a show one time with Dr. Kenneth Bloom. And before the show, I asked him, "Hey, Dr. Bloom, are we addicted to drugs? Or are we addicted to dopamine?" He said, "That's actually a question nobody's ever asked me before, but you're correct. We're addicted to dopamine. Nicotine, alcohol, gambling, all that stuff increases the release of dopamine. And when you think about it, people talk about, you know, the ADHD brain is a reward-driven brain or a dopamine-driven brain, which when there's opportunity to engage and feel something impulsively, that's why people with ADHD jump, because this goes back to self-restraint. They're not able to pause and inhibit. They want to jump to that reward." Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly it. It's that some actions or thoughts or feelings are more rewarding in that moment than others. They're more pleasurable in the moment. There's something more desirable about them in that moment. You know, there's always that temptation to go towards the more pleasurable thing or away from the more, you know, painful thing. But as adults in society, you don't always do the most desirable thing. You know, like, society functions better when people show some self-restraint. So, you know, you don't punch someone because you're angry at them. You don't jump on the first sexy person who walks by, right? Like, we have to hold back those, you know, those desires so that we can do that better thing. And even just basic stuff, like, you know, you got to eat your broccoli before you get dessert. You got to do your homework before you go out and play. You got to go to, you know, school and, you know, pay money out before you get a better job that pays more money in, right? These are all about self-restraint, and they're really much more about the future than they are about the present. And that is where self-restraint comes in. Self-restraint serves the future, not the present.
Just kind of going on with exactly what you're saying, you know, advertisers, you know, when they're selling you something, it's about pain or pleasure. You're either trying to escape pain or you're trying to get to pleasure, which plays right into what we're talking about. So when you think about that, people with ADHD, they really struggle with that self-restraint to pause. You know, there's now and there's not now, right? I can get the pleasure right now, or then there's not now. So they kind of seek that, which makes it difficult. So the other part of that definition about exercising control over one's impulses is also emotions. What are your thoughts on that? How does that play into this?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of, I mean, that is definitely a part of it, in that, you know, folks with ADHD tend to feel their emotions a bit more strongly than folks without ADHD. It's the right emotion for the moment, but they feel it more strongly, and as for any of us, if you feel it more strongly, you're more likely to act on it. So it begins as internally feeling, and then perhaps it shows up as externally acting. you know, so if you feel the boredom of, I don't know, filing paperwork or doing homework, and it's just excruciatingly painful, you're just like, oh my God, the boredom is killing me, you're going to be much more likely to tap out and take a break.
Yep.
Compared to if you can, if you don't feel it quite as painfully, you're like, well, this kind of sucks, but you know, whatever. I've got some music coming, it's fine. You know, it's easier to persist there. So folks with ADHD are climbing a steeper hill or a higher hill.
Yep.
Compared to folks without ADHD when it comes to tolerating negative emotions. But, you know, also in terms of perhaps not acting on positive emotions. So,
uh-huh.
You know, like the excitement of something and, you know, so in some ways folks with ADHD can be a lot of fun to hang out with, right? Because when
yep.
it's positive stuff, like it's great.
Yep.
The problem is that it's not always great. So, like, here's a random example. You know, I had a couple I was seeing, the guy had ADHD, woman didn't, and the guy brought home an Elf on the Shelf for the kids, you know, like where it's this thing
yep.
where you like, you know, you sort of, the kids have to find where the Elf is, and if they do, then, I don't know, some fun thing happens for them. So it's a great thing for the kids. Problem is the parents every night need to remember to move the damn thing. And, you know, so the wife was pissed at him because she's like, God damn it, like we all know who's going to have to, like, who needs one more chore, right? So
uh-huh.
he acted on the impulse of buying the Elf because it's this lovely holiday tradition, and that's definitely true. The problem is he didn't pause to think about, wait a second, who's actually going to be the
yep.
one to move it? Is my wife going to really be happy about this or not?
Yes.
You know, so it's that, so the positive emotion in that case kind of got him into more trouble than perhaps
yes.
it was worth.
Yes. I tell you what, I want to kind of talk a little bit more about emotions. And everybody, we're going to talk about self-awareness in that example, being aware of oneself when one's in those emotions and how. Because at the end of the day, we want to talk about how to manage that, which we'll definitely talk about when we get to the show. But I want to take a break here and go to commercial so we can come back. And I want to kind of talk about a little bit emotions as a reflex and how that plays into things. Everyone, our secret word tonight is restraint. Again, our secret word is restraint. And then tons of great information at Dr. Tuckman's website, adultadhdbook.com. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Transform lives as a professionally trained ADHD coach at the ADD Coach Academy. ADHD coaching is in demand, a calling, and a career. Learn how you can change lives by going to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here with Dr. Ari Tuckman. We're having a conversation about executive functioning, specifically self-restraint, the ability for you to restrain yourself over impulses, emotions, and desires. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the dopamine, the reward neurotransmitter. It's pleasurable. It's the reason that we procreate. It's the reason we forage for food. It's really what really motivation is. The human brain is rewarded when it gets dopamine and how difficult it is to override it. We've been talking about emotions. And to me, one of the things that I had a revelation about 2 years ago when I was looking at emotions, I was like, what is it? And to me, I look at it, and it's really kind of buried in the definition out there. It's a reflexive reaction. And when you begin to think of that in that light, when you go to the doctor and they whip out that hammer and they hit your knee kicks out. It's a reflex. It's an automatic reaction that you have, and nothing's – and it's going to happen every time unless you're aware of it and actually inhibit it. You're kind of prepared for it. And I really looked at emotions in that way before. And with that, I've seen a lot of real interesting things. There's a quote I ran into recently that says, you know, thinking is difficult. That's why people judge. And I'm bringing that into the conversation because when you think about restraint and emotion is a reflexive reaction. It goes into what I have found recently, looking through that lens, is thinking is hard for people with ADHD, and so they have a tendency to just want to escape. And they judge, and I say simply, you know, when you call yourself a procrastinator, you're not analyzing the fact that maybe the epicenter is you don't really know what to do, or maybe it's something that's painfully boring for you, it's really, really difficult. Rather than think about solving that problem, we escape and start calling ourselves names like I'm lazy, I'm perfectionist. And so I find, again, when you start to look at people with ADHD, oh, I feel, that's a reflexive action to escape the pain of thinking. Thoughts on that, Dr. Tuckman?
Yeah, I mean, I think for folks with ADHD, it's pausing to think is the hardest part.
Yep.
And then the thinking, the hardness of thinking is the same as for everyone.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I do think that to be able to sort of step out of the moment a little bit and to get a little bit of perspective, I think is really important, I think, for all of us. And again, this is where folks with ADHD have a bit more trouble relative to folks without ADHD, is that stepping out, that they tend to be much more absorbed in the moment. They feel a lot more what's happening right now and have a harder time kind of thinking past right now into what's going to happen later. So that's obvious with things like, you know, doing homework or sorting papers for taxes before April 14th. But it's even things like, my spouse just pissed me off, how do I respond back, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, do you say what you really feel, or do you recognize, well, I don't really want to ruin the evening, so I'm going to, like, I'm going to hold back and I'm going to say it a little more diplomatically. Or maybe this right now in front of the kids isn't the time and place, but so I'm going to bring this up later. Folks with ADHD tend to feel more the situation of the moment, and they'll say it and then, you know, add to the problem, so to speak. or create a great diversion, which is, let's not talk about the thing I did to piss you off. Let's talk about the fact that you said it with an edge in front of the kids, right?
Yep.
So that's a great kind of bait and switch. To sort of, you know, for the non-ADHD partner to not take a look at their part of it.
When you say bait and switch, it's funny because it's not a conscious thing, I think, that they think of. It's a reflexive reaction to kind of get out of that situation.
Right.
I'm not saying it's all like that, but you can begin to see it's a reflexive reaction to get out of that situation, to mitigate, to get away from the difficulty of confronting something like that. And so, again, all this is wrapped back up into bringing awareness to people with ADHD. At its core, to me, I got this little toy brain that I've got, and sometimes I lift it up when I'm working with somebody on a Zoom call, and I say, you know, think about this brain. I use the brain because it's, you know, it's as if it's outside of your head, and I have it bouncing up and down like an animal, and say, this is like Pavlov's dog, right? It's looking for that lever to push for that reward, and if it doesn't find reward with this lever, it'll find another lever and another lever until it finds a lever where it's getting a reward or dopamine, and then it won't stop. It'll just sit there all over the place because it can't regulate itself. It can't stop. And I relate, you know, kids with ADHD can play, you know, computer games for hours. Their issue is not engaging their attention. It's actually stopping. And then you think about the emotion. Oh, I want to feel good. I don't want to be uncomfortable. And so we begin to understand at its core level this reflexive reaction to seek dopamine is really the epicenter of ADHD. And what we're trying to do is help those with ADHD manage that. And part of this show is really about self-awareness. Again, I start top of the show, self-awareness is a real good predictor of success in life. And when working with people with ADHD, to me, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this, Dr. Tuckman, is the way to manage this is, number one, don't put yourself in a situation where you have to self-regulate. So that's not put yourself,
yeah.
Manage the environment. Two, which is probably one of the harder ones, is being able to pause when you're in the middle of it and really down-regulate from there. And three is just kind of being self-aware and exercising it and anticipating it before you walk in that situation. And so a lot of what we're doing, the time is really trying to help people engage and participate. And I find a lot of people that struggle with managing their ADHD is they don't own it. It's like they think that external structure, the external alarm is going to do it. It can for some people, but some people just the desire – or that pleasure, alarms and stuff can go off left and right, but they just ignore it because they're still looking for that reward. So to me, there's all kinds of different ways, and everybody's individual, but as a coach, we're really trying to either create the self-awareness so that they create the environment where they don't have to self-regulate, to be able to catch themselves when they're in it, but really a lot of this goes back to that self-awareness. Thoughts from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely self-awareness, because without self-awareness, you're just crossing your fingers and hoping for the best, right? I hope the world brings me what I need. And that, it, you know, this is partly why a diagnosis of ADHD and then, you know, self-education, so books, podcasts, webinars, conferences, whatever, you know, really understanding ADHD is such a fundamental piece of kind of treatment or management or whatever, because it helps people understand, like, oh, that's why those things are harder and those things are easier, or this tends to happen instead of that, or that's why it's so hard for me to follow through with plans or something. So definitely self-awareness is where it all begins. And I think that because there's no agency without self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, definitely we don't want to over-rely on self-regulation or, you know, that resisting. Mm-hmm. You know, this is why, like, when you're on a diet, you don't have, like, a plate of chocolate chip cookies in front of you while you're eating a kale salad, right? Like, there are people who can still eat the kale and not touch the cookies, but, like, seriously, why would you tempt it, you know?
Yes.
Or, like, I don't know, like, people who don't want to drink probably shouldn't show up in bars, right? It doesn't mean that you couldn't get in and out without a drink, but, like, why roll the dice?
Yep.
So yeah, like, knowing where are those places that are harder for me to resist and then not putting yourself into those situations. You know, and some of that is just, it's the basics. It's that, like, you know, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, you know, like, so just dealing with, like, setting a good foundation of self-restraint, you know, so you're able to bring your best to the situation. But a lot of what I spend time talking to clients about when we're dealing with stuff about being more productive or getting things done is about, as you said, it's managing the environment. And that means knowing what are the things that get you into trouble. But it also means really being honest with yourself about it. So, I don't know, this is like an old example, but it sort of comes to mind. You know, I was working with this college kid with ADHD who was not doing well in school. And, you know, one of the things that would happen is he would go to the library to get a bunch of work done. All right, that's awesome. You know, that's a good step in the right direction. But then he would bring a portable hard drive loaded with movies, right? And then, you know, does anybody not know what I'm going to say next, right? Obviously, he would do some work and then spend 3 hours watching movies. So, like, going to the library with a bunch of movies is like, why are you even showing up?
Yes.
So, you know, it's like going to the gym with a bottle of whiskey, right? Like, why are you there? So, you know, so that was some of it, is that, like, for him to really be honest, if I'm going to the library and I'm bringing all these movies, I accept the fact that I'm probably not getting much done. If he's okay with that, that's fine. But if his goal is to keep himself in school, that is not fine. It doesn't line up. He's not setting himself up for success. If you don't want to drink, don't go to the bar.
Yes.
If you're going to go to the bar, you're accepting the fact that I'm probably going to drink. I'm not making a value judgment either way, but, like, let's be honest with ourselves. So, like, some of the self-awareness is just pure knowledge of, oh, now I understand why.
Yep.
But then there's also that will to act, and I think that's where the self-restraint comes in.
Absolutely, absolutely. I tell you what, I'm going to amplify that a little bit, but let's do that after we get back from break. Everybody, our secret word tonight is restraint. Check out Dr. Tuckman's website, adultadhdbook.com, and with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Change your life by learning more about managing ADHD. Other places give you a few tips, The ADD Coach Academy will change your life. To find out more, go to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Could hiring an attention coach really help you move forward? Does a child get wet when they dive into a swimming pool? You can get started moving forward today. Just call Dig Coaching Practice at 813-837-8084 and schedule a free consultation. Tell us you heard about us on Attention Talk Radio and get 50% off your discovery session. For more information, visit digcoaching.com. Don't delay, do it today. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here with Dr. Ari Tuchman having a conversation about part of executive function, self-restraint. Very illuminating conversation up to this point in time. And I really want to just kind of pause here for a second and just a few fundamentals that I've learned. Self-restraint is most difficult, as Ari had alluded to earlier, when you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're lonely, when you're tired, or when you're bored. In those moments, you're in an uncomfortable situation, and emotionally you want out, and so it's difficult to inhibit the impulse to go do something. Having the self-awareness around that to manage those times, so sometimes you're like, okay, here's a situation where I'm going to be bored. Before you get there, I'm going to go to the DMV and sit in line all day. What am I going to do in order to occupy my mind so that I'm comfortable, but that's not like addictive, like some like game or something on your phone? That awareness is important. Another thing I wanted to highlight is it's really, really important is I get these phone calls all the time from spouses or parents that want me to coach their kids. And at the end of the day, I always say, okay, if they're having such a difficult time, why are you calling me? And most of them can't explain that. And I say the issue really is because ADHD is an issue of self-restraint, I can't coach anybody to engage in this that isn't engaged in it. So as an adult, or you can love somebody and you can know they want help, but I can't coach anybody to help them because if they don't own it or whatever, they're not involved, they'll not be able to self-restrain themselves. And I get a lot of these phone calls where people are like kind of shocked. I'm like, oh, I can't help them. I know you love them, but – and they probably need a little bit of help, but unless they're engaged in this process, it doesn't really work. The other thing that I'd like to highlight about the student who was taking the movies is, I don't know, Ari, I get this a lot where I call it, they want their cake and eat it too. You know, I tell this story one time of a professional that was wanting coaching because they weren't getting into the office till 11 o'clock in the morning and they were watching TV at night. And I was suggesting that they take the TV out of the room so that they would actually sleep. And their comment to me was, it would be too much of a negative impact to my standard of living. I'm like, are you listening to yourself? You want me to coach you to get you out of bed, but you're sleep deprived and you won't take the TV out of your room. And so I get that conflict all the time where emotionally they won't let go of something that they can't restrain themselves on, but they want coaching on the outcome. And, you know, it's kind of hard because, like, listen, I can't coach you just to sleep 4 hours a day. And so I see that kind of showing up because they want it, but emotionally they resist it. Thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Or your turn?
No, this is definitely true, right? Like, we all want it both ways. And, you know, to me, the classic example, you know, you mentioned advertising before. The classic example to me is, you know, Miller Lite's slogan, taste great, less filling, which is the ultimate habit both ways. Now, the reality is it tastes like crap, right? It does not taste good. It is less filling, I suppose. It has less calories. I'll give them that. But it doesn't taste great. So it's just, you know, we need to make choices in life. And, you know, we can't always have it both ways. And, you know, I think that we all have this wish for it to be both ways. Or, you know, in couples therapy, the wish is, I'm not going to do anything different, but my spouse is going to make all the changes, and then I'll be happy.
Yes.
You know, or, you know, I would like to lose weight, so I'm going to sometimes casually walk around the block, and that's going to be enough to change it. Or I'm going to do some crazy diet, and that magically is going to make me lose all the weight, or whatever, right? Like, we all have that desire. But I don't know, like, reality is disappointing sometimes. And I think it becomes a matter of, you know, that the self-awareness piece of really being clear about what do I want more, what am I willing to do, what am I willing to give up to get there. And, you know, I think often when people show up at our offices, you know, it's because they haven't figured that out yet. And that's part of the process is let's really think it through. Like, what do you want? What are you willing to do to get there?
And that brings us to the most simple way of boiling all this stuff down is earlier, again, when I'm working with clients, I'm trying to make executive functioning tangible. I'm trying to take their emotion out of it. It is what it is. And that's why I talk about ADHD as being a dopamine addiction. You know, there's the physical properties of the universe that make up electricity. And I kind of work its way through. It's the physical properties, the biological properties into your behavior. And then I talk about emotion as a reflexive reaction so that they can step out of themselves and see themselves in like the third person and be able to manage, you know, watch their brain in its natural habitat, and then beat its brain at its own game by manipulating the environment to kind of help it make it easier to self-regulate. But what I find often is people are focused on willpower. Willpower is just, I'm just going to override it. And if you begin to understand that self-restraint is self-regulation, you're asking people to use their weakness to overcome their weakness. And that notion of just trying harder is, you know, Dr. Barclay talks about, you know, willpower is a finite resource and when it's gone. And at the end of the day, I spend a lot of time, and I tell people, I cannot coach you to try harder. Don't come to me. Don't even call me. I can't fix it, and I can't have you overcome it. My job is to help you work with it. It's acknowledge that it's there. It's not going to go away. And what are we going to do about it? And that mind shift of, hey, let's work with it and adjust the environment and make it easier for you to think or not put yourself in environments, I find it to be a winning formula. But the big thing out there that I find, particularly with neurotypicals and even people with ADHD, is they're so focused on willpower. And that's why there's a lot of people, in my opinion, who know a lot about ADHD, but they're not moving forward because they'll go, yeah, thinking is hard. But then they go back to, I've just got to try harder. And therein lies a conflict and a problem. And it's changing your mindset in that moment. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely true. I think in general for everybody, counting on willpower is the least effective method. And especially for folks with ADHD because they feel the temptation of the moment more so than folks without ADHD. But, you know, the thing about relying on willpower is it gives us the illusion in the moment of being able to have our cake and eat it too, right? It's that thing of like, oh, later I won't get distracted. I'll just get all that stuff done without actually having, you know, which history would tell us is not likely to work out, right? The people where it does work out don't call you and me and they don't listen to this podcast, right? Like if there are those people. But, you know, it allows us to not do that hard work in the moment of, okay, wait a second, that's probably not going to work out, or maybe it will, but it probably also won't. So am I willing to take that risk that it doesn't work out, or do I need to just bite the bullet and do something different now, right? That thing of counting on willpower, it enables us to pretend that it could work out.
Yes.
You know, it'll work out later without me having to do anything now, which is basically it's a failure of self-restraint in that moment. It might be a failure of self-awareness, especially among younger folks who genuinely believe, stack of Bibles, I swear, Your Honor, it will work out, but nobody else believes it, but they really do. But, you know, once you hit about 25, it's probably somewhat maybe self-awareness, but it's really more about self-restraint of having to bite the bullet and really make a hard choice, right? It's easier to kick the can down the road and say, oh, later I'll just do the better thing. And then cross your fingers and hope it works out.
So you said something here, and I need to pull this together for time-wise, but I just can't help but say this. Is you said illusion. escaping the hard work in the moment, pretending. This is an interesting loop. You got to have self-awareness in order to have self-restraint. And this plays out all the time. The short answer is those people saying, I need to think about it. They need to think about it, but they never actually think about it. They just talk about needing to talk about it, which is an escape. And I was coaching this guy one time, and we were having this conversation about something, and he's very verbal. We both know that. And I was leading into a conversation so we could talk out loud about it to work our way through it. He says, you know, I need to go spend some time and get my thoughts, you know, on this on paper. And then he changed the subject, and I said, dude, do you know what you just did is you just escaped the conversation because it was too hard for you to think about it. He goes,
right.
What? I go, yeah, tell me a time in your life when you ever actually sat down and did what you said. And he goes, I guess I never have. I said, you know, you see in that moment, what I was doing is I was bringing it up because I wanted to talk out loud with you to address it, to make it easier. But even that, you had a reflexive reaction just to say, I should go do this later. But if you have the self-awareness and realize that you never actually do it later, that's an automated response that you do in order to escape doing the work. And it was kind of interesting because he actually, oh my God, I get it. I do that all the time. And so this is kind of wrapped into itself a little bit, which is why we're doing this program, to create that awareness, is that you got to have this awareness and this self-restraint. And if you watch yourself emotionally, we do a lot of reacting to get out of it in the stories that we tell ourselves. And I know you've done a lot of presentations about the stories or the lies that we tell ourselves in order to do that. But that's what this looks like in every day. And the best way to manage it is to call yourself on it and notice those things that you're doing, because ignoring them just perpetuates it. Thoughts?
Yeah, no. And this is part of the problem, because, you know, like this line of, you know what, let me think about it and get my thoughts in order. Is it great? Like, that sounds awesome. That sounds like a really good thing for someone to do, right? So
So
it sounds good, but it's BS, right? Because he's not actually going to do it.
Yes.
You know, so that's the problem is, you know, if you were to say, I'm just going to ignore this and hope it all works out, right, then nobody would say that, because then the other person would say, well, wait a second, that doesn't sound likely. But, you know, like these little lies that we tell ourselves, and some of them really are really quick and automatic, so we don't even hear the lie
mm-hmm.
in our own ears, is
mm-hmm.
they sound good on the face of it. You know, I'm going to wake up a bit early tomorrow, and then I'm going to work on it. That sounds great. That sounds like a good thing for people that waking up early, our puritanical roots, you know, really support
yep.
that as an idea, right? Except it doesn't actually happen. So, you know, so again, it's that lie we tell ourselves in the moment allows us to feel better right now, but not having to actually bite the bullet and make a choice one way or the other. That, you know, if he had said to you, you know what, I don't really feel like exploring this further, that would have actually been the honest answer. And you know what, I could respect him if he said that.
Yes, I agree.
Not agree that that's the best course of action, but at least I could say, like, all right, cool, you know what, you're being honest. I'm glad for that. So it's that self-awareness of recognizing when I say I will think about this later, you know what? I don't. Like, I probably won't. So
yes.
What am I going to do? Like, do I choose to do it now, or do I accept the fact that I probably won't do it later? Or maybe do I set a reminder, or do I say, hey, Jeff, I'm going to call you tomorrow and I'll email you my thoughts. Right?
Yes.
Like, am I changing the dance here so that I make it more likely that something different happens? You know, so like that's a valid response also, is to kind of do something that changes
yep.
it and not just do the same thing.
Yep. So at the end of the day, it's just that self-awareness of what's going on, which is what this program is going on, to realize that self-restraint is the elephant in the room, and it takes a lot of energy and effort, and you have to own this. Good news is if you do, you can do something about it. But if you're just going through the motions, you'll find that you're doing a lot of work and you're not really – you're spinning your wheels a lot, not getting different outcomes. So
right. Need
to wrap this up. Any final thought or nugget, or we kind of covered it?
I don't know. I think just, you know, self-awareness and self-restraint, easy to say, but really, really important. And I think that, you know, if you – the more you educate yourself about ADHD – you will it'll increase your self-awareness because you'll say, oh, yeah, that. So I think that's a really good, I'm always in favor of, you know, self-aware or self-education like
yep.
that, whether it's about ADHD or whatever. You know, certainly talking to a therapist or a coach, like a lot of what we're doing is increasing self-awareness. And certainly romantic partners will strive to improve your self-awareness. They may not strive to improve their own self-awareness. But, you know, but kind of listening to some of the feedback that you get from others, although it's not always fun, can be a good place to increase self-awareness as well.
Absolutely. With that, all right, I think we accomplished what I was trying to accomplish is I think we covered a lot of material. It's the epicenter. Nobody talks about it directly. I'm so grateful for you coming on the show. It was your insights and thoughts on this were spectacular.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Everybody, our secret word tonight is restraint. Restraint. Also, go check out Dr. Tuckman's website, adultadhdbook.com. Hope you got something out of tonight. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.